Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Children's Services Network, December 8, 2005. We are having a very special meeting today as we have our guests here, Dr. Ira Chasnoff and Dr. Rich McGurdy. And before we get started with them, we need to take care of just a few minutes of business. So we will go around and do introductions. And if you would also, if you have any public comment or hot topics, if you would do that at the same time, the introductions, that would be appreciated. And I'm Kim Barrett, Chief Probation Officer.
Alan Hilton, Director, Special Ed Local Agency Area.
Jayma Newland, County Office of Education, Director for Prevention and Community Partnerships.
Dawn Williams, Community Member.
Jim Davis, Director of God's Havens for Children, Foster Family Agency, and Youth Mentoring Programs.
Brett Sinceri, County Mental Health, Clinical Programs Manager, and Co-Chair of Integrated Services.
Biz Steinberg, the Executive Director of the Economic Opportunity Commission. My one announcement is we're getting ready for that open house, so everybody has to join us tomorrow, 3 to 5:30 at EOC. Thank you.
Mary Squilotti, District 4 Rep for San Luis Obispo and also EOC and SAFE.
Tom O'Malley, 5th District Supervisor Appointee to this organization, and happy to say after about 29 years with County Mental Health, I'm officially retired as of last week, and I look forward to being a... Thank you. I figure it'll take me about a year to get caught up with my overcommitments, but I am looking forward to being sworn in as mayor up in Atascadero next Tuesday night. So come on out, 7 o'clock if you're in the area. Thank you.
Stephen Hughes, Court Appointed Advocates.
Susan Hughes, Executive Director for First Five San Luis Obispo.
Pam Dudley, San Luis Obispo County Public Health Department.
Jan Campbell, Maternal Child Health Director for San Luis Obispo.
Lee Porter, I'm a student at the Carr Institute doing my internship at the North County Connection.
Sue Warren, and I'm the District 2 Supervisor Representative and also Director with North County Connection, and I have our monthly calendars, and this month I've attached a fact sheet about North County Connection and what we do and our statistics.
Julian Crocker, County Superintendent of Schools.
Jim Roberts, the Director of Family Care Network and Chair of the Needs Assessment Committee. And just a reminder, those that didn't get our email flyer, we're having our big annual Christmas party next Thursday, and you're all invited. I'll shoot around some more flyers. It's going to be an awesome time, great food, great activities for kids, so please plan on being there.
Carol Capito, Child Care Planning Council.
Angela Hollander, working School Readiness Coordinator, working in partnership between First Five San Luis Obispo and San Luis Obispo County Office of Education.
Sarah Horn, representing the Health Commission.
Anna Boyd-Busey, Big Brothers Big Sisters Program Director.
Lisa Fraser, Director of the San Luis Obispo County Child Abuse Prevention Council, and I would like to remind everybody to mark your calendars for March 28th and March 29th for the annual CSN conference. We'll have Drs. Vincent Paletti of the ACE study, and also Dr. Linda Chamberlain come and talk to us about successful interventions working with children who are exposed to violence in the homes. And also March 28th, we'll be doing focus groups with a variety of disciplines to see that they get an opportunity to hear these speakers that because they're not able to attend an all-day conference. So March 28th and March 29th.
Frank Bush with Tri-Counties Regional Center. We're one of the Early Start partner agencies.
Rosalinda Rodriguez, District Administrator for Aspira, and I'm waiting for a shoe shine.
Alice Yamada, League of Women Voters. You may be aware that the Preschool for All initiative has qualified for the ballot in June, so you may want to start paying attention to all the things that are said on both sides for that one.
Betsy Alloway, Social Services. I'm representing the Asset Development Network.
Phyllis Briotta, manager of EOC's Family Support Services.
Paul Hyman, County Drug and Alcohol Services.
Grant Nielsen from the Private Industry Council.
Don Dennison, representing Lucia Mar Unified School District and co-chair of the Integrated Services Committee.
Samantha Watkins, Administrative Program Director for the San Luis Obispo Child Development Center, a child abuse prevention, intervention, and treatment program.
Thanks. Jen Hayek, Program Manager for the SLO Child Development Center.
Lori Chamberlain, Program Director, San Luis Obispo Child Development Center.
Hi, I'm Brittany Major. I'm the Behavior Analyst for Spira Foster and Family Services.
Okay, thank you. Our last piece of business is that we need to approve the minutes from October 27, 2005. If you've all read them, if someone could make a motion.
So moved.
Okay, moved. Second. All in favor? All right. Thank you very much. Great. We can get on to our business of the day. And it is my true pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Ira Chasnoff and Dr. Rich McGurdy. And they are our speakers today. Many of you in the room have been aware and been involved in the Beginnings Project and the perinatal screening and treatment program that we have been involved in this county for the past 2 years. And today, Dr. Chasnoff and Dr. McGurdy have traveled here from Chicago. They've been here for a few days, and they're here to give us an update on where we're at with the Beginnings Project and the model of care for our high-risk children in San Luis Obispo County. So welcome, good morning, and it's all yours.
All right. Good morning. I have to correct one thing Kim said. Actually, I just came from Hawaii. So, you know, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it. It's a pleasure to be here. We always enjoy coming back to San Luis Obispo because no matter what time of year, the weather is always better here than it is in Chicago. Right now, it's in single digits with snow on the ground. I'm sure most of you have no comprehension of what that really means, but suffice to say, we're very glad to be here. Several of you were with us last night when we gave some update. Let me explain what we're going to do this morning. As you know, we've been working here in San Luis Obispo County for about 2 years now. Primarily, we began through maternal child adolescent health under Jan Campbell's direction, a team came screening, assessment, referral, and treatment. We always start on the prenatal side. So over the last 2 years, we have been doing universal screening of pregnant women for substance use during the pregnancy. That's alcohol, tobacco, and illicit drugs. If the women screen positive, then they have what we call a field assessment within the prenatal care setting. And that assessment, while screening asks who might be using drugs and alcohol and tobacco, the assessment answers the question, who is using? And if the woman, in fact, is using, we then provide a brief intervention in the prenatal care setting. It's a psychoeducational, motivational interview that hopefully moves the woman away from use and toward accepting treatment, and then there is a linked referral into a treatment program for the woman. That process is going very well, and I'll present the data for you for San Luis Obispo. But as over the years, as we've worked on this, it becomes very clear that once you start identifying high-risk women, you start identifying high-risk children. And so the second phase of our work with San Luis Obispo County is to now move into a universal screening program for children. And what we had an opportunity to meet with Susan and the first five commission last night and start presenting some of our ideas of where we are with that process.
And we soon, hopefully, will have a screening assessment referral process in San Luis Obispo County, which will then bring all children into a centralized children's center, which will provide comprehensive assessments and treatment for children affected by all of life's hazards, including prenatal substance exposure, substance abuse in the family, domestic violence, all the other kinds of things that happen to children. So that's the big picture of what's going on. Now, what I'd like to do first is tell you a little bit about San Luis Obispo County. And can the folks over here see this? Oh, is the TV blocking it? Oh, well, then you'll have to move. Okay. And it's your problem. I'll try to stand out of the way. Now, what I'm going to do, instead of just presenting to you the data from San Luis Obispo County, I'm going to show you data from 8 counties that we're working with here in California. We're actually working with about 20, but 8 of them have good, solid data that I can share with you. And a lot of this just came out recently, was published in an article that we wrote about this process. The counties I'm going to tell you about are Madera, Butte, San Luis Obispo, San Bernardino, Ventura, Humboldt, Alameda, and Fresno. Now, the populations I'm going to be that have been going through most of the screening are mostly Medi-Cal populations. In several of the counties, such as San Luis Obispo, the data include private patients also. I would say about 30% of the population I'm presenting data on. It's a total of close to 25,000 pregnant women. Now, although we have San Luis Obispo down here for about 2,000, we now have a data on another 1,100 for this year, 1,100 that are not included in this data set. But so this is the largest data set in the country of women in prenatal care getting the same interventions during the prenatal period. Now, what we're going to look at first are the screening data. For the 25,000 pregnant women, 18% are using tobacco in the month before they know they're pregnant. 22% are drinking alcohol, and close to 10% are using both tobacco and alcohol. So that what we have overall, when you count for overlap, about 31% of pregnant women are using alcohol and or tobacco in the month before they know they're pregnant. Now, if you've been in our sessions before, you know I've shown you all the brain slides of what happens when a woman is drinking or smoking in those months before she knows she's pregnant. You get significant changes in fetal brain structure and function that affect long-term developmental and behavioral outcome. The second part of this process, the assessment, then tells us not only who's using alcohol or tobacco in the month before they know they're pregnant, but it goes on to identify the other substances of abuse, mainly the illegal drugs, and looks at patterns before and after knowledge of pregnancy. Now, I'm not going to talk any further at this point about tobacco because what we found with low dopamine levels because of a toxic influence. That's why the research has documented for many years, children born to mothers who smoke tobacco have a significantly increased rate of ADHD. That's where that connection is. One is a toxic depletion of dopamine, the other is genetic, but the children look the same. So that's the impact of tobacco, but nobody stops using. Now, for alcohol, 22% of the women were using in the month before they knew they were pregnant. Once they found out they were pregnant, the numbers dropped to 9%. So a little more than half the women stop using once they find out they're pregnant. That's the good news. The bad news is 9% continue to use. For marijuana use, 5% are using in the month before they know they're pregnant. And that drops to about 4% once they find out they're pregnant. And then finally, illicit drugs. This, besides marijuana, this is methamphetamine, cocaine, and heroin. The rate is 6%, dropping to about 4% once they find out they're pregnant. So there is a drop. Women will stop using once they find out they're pregnant, but relatively few will stop using the illicit drugs. Now, if we look at the different counties across California, this is Madera. You can see the rates here. Madera, Butte, San Luis, San Bernardino, Ventura, Humboldt, Alameda, and Fresno. Now, somebody has a Christmas phone. If you look at, first of all, look at Ventura and Fresno, you see that they, is that my colleague that left his cell phone on?
Would I have that?
No, you wouldn't. It's a girl song. Somebody's phone is up here. We don't know whose it is. Yeah, nobody will claim it now. Now, you'll notice that the two groups, the two counties with the lowest rates are Fresno and Ventura. Those are the two counties that we've been working with the longest. For example, in Fresno County, we've been working for 8 years there. And one of the things that we've done in Fresno that has not been implemented here is a community prevention campaign. And this is with PSAs, television and radio PSAs, as well as billboard campaigns, those kinds of things. And what happened in Fresno with the implementation of this is we reduced alcohol and drug use during pregnancy in Fresno County 25% in 3 years. So it's very doable. And one of the things we're working with Lisa and Jan on right now is some of those campaigns, those prevention campaigns that we've put on in other counties, looking at implementing those here in San Luis Obispo, because it really does work. Now, the other thing, if you look at each of these counties and the high rates that are occurring, each county is different. For example, in Butte County, 42% of pregnant women are using alcohol or drugs during pregnancy. What drives the numbers in Butte County is methamphetamines. In Humboldt County, 31%, that's driven by high rates of marijuana use. Alameda County is driven by marijuana and alcohol, and there's some real differences. If you look in Oakland, the patterns of drug use are much different than in Berkeley, both of which are in Alameda County. Berkeley has tremendous rates. We have one clinic where 60% of pregnant women were using marijuana. So that's Berkeley. So we can learn all sorts of things about the different counties. What we have learned about San Luis Obispo, your overall rate of alcohol and drug use is 36%. So well over a third of the children in this county are being born exposed to substances that change the structure and function of the developing fetal brain. And this, let me caution you, does not include tobacco. It's 36% alcohol and illicit drugs. The way that San Luis Obispo is different from all of the other counties is you by far have the highest alcohol rates. That's what drives your high rates is alcohol. Not only that, whereas in every other county, once women find out they're pregnant, about half will stop using alcohol. In San Luis Obispo, only about 25% stop using. So 75% of the women using alcohol continue to use through pregnancy. Now, that has tremendous implications for long-term development, implications for the schools and special ed services, Alan. That's where, as we work here in San Luis, that's where we really need to target our efforts, is on the alcohol use. So those are the data for San Luis Obispo. If you're interested in comments at this time.
Any
indications? I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't even want questions?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. That's a good question. We're going to broadcast this, and I want to know if we do need to catch these questions.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Okay. All right, so we just sit here. Have a drink of coffee.
All right, if you could take the microphone, please, that'd be helpful for us. I'm sorry, folks. The video process here is probably not what you're all used to, but we want to get it on tape for these processes. The lady in red here is who's trying to ask a question.
It better be a good question after all that. Go ahead.
I was just curious if there were any early indicators as to why this particular county stands out for only having half of what the norm is for women stopping.
Yeah. We work with a lot of counties. We're working with, I think it's around 20 or so here in California. Our programs have been implemented across states such as New Jersey and Kentucky. San Luis Obispo is different from any other site we have worked with because of your attitude toward wine. Now, first of all, this is wine country, and I understand that, but wine is so embedded in your culture here that I think that's, and it's so accepted as normal, that part of what we have to do educationally is help people understand that wine is fine. You know, I have no argument with people using wine or other forms of alcohol within reason if it's not during pregnancy. But what we have to do in this county is get the word out is that if you're pregnant or thinking of becoming pregnant, you need to not drink. It's the only safe way. And for those of you, again, that have been in my sessions before when I've shown all the slides of the brains and the different kinds of things that happen, we have clear scientific evidence now. There is no safe amount of alcohol. And that's the message that we have to get out. I will tell you the other way that San Luis Obispo is different. There is not another county we have worked with that the medical community has been so supportive. And one of the things that's happened here, 90% of your prenatal care sites are participating in screening, doing universal screening on the women in the public as well as in the private sector. So we have had tremendous cooperation from the physicians here, which I think is going to stand us in good stead over time.
Are we good?
Okay.
Give us
I'm sorry.
I think a couple of people at least are going to know what I'm going to ask. I understand the attention to the alcohol piece. No problem there at all. Mm-hmm. But I worry a little bit about the remarks made on the tobacco piece in that I know that 18% continue to use. So I would hope that at least in the 4Ps area that tobacco continues to be rigorously assessed and referred, because I don't, and I think in our media community prevention campaign that should be also addressed. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's no question. And I didn't mean to slight tobacco. It's just I didn't present data because there's no sense in presenting data that just shows the same bar keep going across at the same rate. Actually, when we compare California sites to other sites we're working with, California has lower rates of tobacco than anybody else. And that's because of the work that's been done here, not the least of which is the first five, approach. The message we have to get out, well, the other thing is we have found that in our other counties, when you start these campaigns, the two areas you can have the greatest impact on are alcohol and tobacco. Community campaigns, you know, billboards that say don't use meth during pregnancy, don't do any good. So we always focus on alcohol and tobacco. I have focused my attention this morning on alcohol because what sets San Luis apart from everybody else is the alcohol use rates. Your tobacco rates are pretty much what everybody else has, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be addressing it. Yeah. Tobacco, you know, if you just say what's the worst drug a woman can take, probably for the long-term implications for the child, it's alcohol followed by tobacco. And those two substances have far greater impact than the methamphetamine and all the political attention being paid to meth right now. Meth, cocaine, those things come and go. Alcohol and tobacco are here, and they're always here. And from sheer numbers and brain damage, I think those are the two factors that have the greatest implications for our children. And says that's how bad it's gotten. But he's going to tell you a little bit about now what the next steps are, what's going on here in San Luis Obispo, as far as developing a comprehensive SART system for children.
Morning, everyone. The meeting last night, I was at First Five, Jan introduced us, and she mentioned an event. Someone approached her with a case, a situation, a high-risk child, and she wanted some direction on what help was available. And Jan did what she could, but it heightened her awareness that what she really needs is a place where children can be referred. And Julie mentioned another child. The question always comes up is, say, can you identify a high-risk child, and can you get them help in your community? And the answer is usually yes. The question, though, is not whether or not you can do it, it's whether or not you can do it reliably and for a large population of children. Can you do it systematically, and can you do it at an acceptable cost? And you don't have to know a Jan Campbell or a Julie in order to be able to get a child help. So what we engaged in was a conversation with your community members here. And what I'd like to present to you now is where this conversation stands at present, what is needed to move forward, some information on what other communities have done, and I think we talked last night about the role of First Five. We'll just advert to that now. We're not going to spend too much time on that. So we'll take a half step back. This started in September 2004. There was some initial design work done. Then we worked for a considerable period of time, and we're in a stage now called implementation planning, which is the stage where you go from concept to startup. And finally, you see that there's a phase for startup leading to full implementation, but unfortunately we don't have a date on that yet. We hope to be able to have a date on that by the end of our visit here today. That's the sequence of events. I should mention that one of the reasons Ira and I enjoy working here is that your community is a community of doers. There's a distinction to be made. I'm sure you're all aware that there are people who get together and talk about these issues, and they engage in what some people call the game of ain't it awful. And people give a presentation or raise an issue. Everyone says, God, it's awful. We should be able to do better. And then the meeting's over. Nothing comes of it. And here, it's going to be different. There's been talk, there's process, and it's going to lead to a change that'll serve the entire community. So we're at a crossroads, and the crossroads is something I'd like to comment on. The process has involved a wide range of people, and if you can just run your eye down that list of people who have been involved in the leadership team, you can see that it involves people from every corner of the community. Many of the professional groups have been involved, some of the political leadership in your community, a great group of people to work with. And a rather large group of people to work with, I should add. But we've worked well. They come to this, and this was done July 2004. This is the vision. And I'll let you read it there, underscoring the notion that this is about all children. That we have an idea that this is not for a few. It's not going to be located in the center of the county, leaving out the outlying areas. This is something that has to be effective for all the children. That they would receive interventions, treatment, and support to reach their highest level of growth and development. And you can go on and read the other bullet points there, and I think you'd be struck by the fact that this is strong language. So we've set the bar high. And what we've encountered, which is normative, is that there are clinical challenges, there are organizational challenges, and there are financial challenges to doing this. And that's been the focus of the discussions. This graphic is a translation of that vision and is sort of an operational clue as to what we'd like to do. And I'll spend a second now just explaining to you the ideal scenario of what we're aiming for. You'll see that in the green arrow, the green diamonds, are three initials. Ira referred to them earlier, screening, assessment, referral, and treatment. Screening will occur in the community. It'll occur in the foster care system. It'll occur in Head Start. In time, it'll occur in child care settings. It'll occur in physicians' offices. we'll be able to expand the screening using an instrument called the Ages and Stages Questionnaire and its companion, the Ages and Stages Questionnaire Social Emotional. We've proposed this to the community as sort of a vigilance. But the population we're most concerned about will come out of that screening event and they'll screen positive. That is, there's ample indication from the ASQ to say we need to look further to understand the nature of the difficulties the child is experiencing. And for that, we need to move them to an assessment center. The assessment center will be a place where the child can encounter a full range of professional expertise. Rather than a piecemeal evaluation, which many parents will tell us is difficult for them. They take them to a physician, then they have to take them to speech and language, they have to take them to somebody in occupational therapy, and they burn out in it. Or worse, they only go to one and they get a partial evaluation, and the child doesn't get really what they need. We use the term a transdisciplinary approach to assessment. So the notion is that there will be a location in your community where parents or caregivers can bring their child, and the child will get a comprehensive assessment, which will put them in possession of a report. Very often we'll find that that's where the service ends. Parents are given a report, and they're left to their own devices to find the treatment. That's a problem. So what we're going to propose in this system is that the R is not just a phone number, but it's a couple of people, family advocates, who will walk with the caregiver until they have secured services for the child. We will not leave that transition from the assessment to treatment to chance. We're going to walk with the parent, the child, and their caregiver to that point. Then there has to be treatment. The treatment in the community may be found at the regional center if it is appropriate, if the child's needs are generally developmental in nature. It may be found at this children's center, which is another name for that A in the model there. Some of it would be assessment, and some of it would be treatment. But the default would be to find treatment in the community. Many of the providers who exist now in the community would be the child and the family would be referred to them for whatever treatment they need. It is not the idea here, it is not the intention to build an assessment center, or I should say a children's center, which will become a sort of a treatment Walmart. That's not the idea. The idea is to support the existing treatment providers by making sure that the child is referred to the place that makes most sense for them, both in terms of their clinical needs and geographic sensibility. But many of the children, by virtue of the fact that they live near that children's center, would find their treatment there. We had to look at the budget, and the planning on that began earlier this year. And we wanted to assure the colleagues in the community that we would be looking at a lean staffing pattern. We know that this is not viable if the cost per child helped starts to become too high. We also knew that we would need to maximize the billing for this through the existing mechanism. EPSDT is a very attractive arrangement. It's early periodic screening, diagnosis, and treatment. It's a federal program which, if your community contributes a certain amount, you can draw down a very large federal portion. And it helps make a lot of the services financially viable. In other communities, we found that that's a big part of the formula that makes this work out at a financial level. We also need to make sure that where there's opportunities to match monies, that is, put money in and then get some federal matching dollars, state matching dollars back, that we maximize that. Obviously, it's a deal breaker if we cannot find a formula for this, a financial formula that keeps the cost per child acceptable to the community and sustainable over a long period of time. Sustainable is a word we hear a lot about, and it's a valuable sort of notion to keep in front of our eyes, because this is not something that your community has asked us to design and help with the design because they want to see it run for a couple of years. This is not being done in a grant mentality. This is an ongoing service because the need is going to be ongoing. So what do we need to move forward? There are eight things that are sort of the major elements that we need to move forward. You need ongoing oversight and coordination. These things don't run themselves, and like all things, it's sort of the physics principle of entropy. Things break down over time, so you can put it in place, but if it is not given good oversight and support, you place it at risk as an organization. You'll need somebody who would be a model of care, and in particular, a billing system to make sure that as soon as we're up and operating, that we can generate a revenue stream. We need a budget that's realistic. We need startup funding. And we need that ongoing revenue to support the operations. So where do we stand and where do some others stand? The green dots mean that the item that I just mentioned is in place. And as you can see, we've got three in the middle: Fresno, Monterey County, and San Bernardino 1. San Bernardino is such a big geographic entity that they're going to end up with three of these centers just to make sure that people can get to them, one in the high desert, one in their Central Valley, and one in their West End. Monterey can be served by one. Fresno is being served by one, but they have some distance challenges there that they have to deal with. But they're in place. They're operating. They've got their challenges. I wouldn't suggest to you that everything is operating smoothly. They're still early, and they are working out their challenges. But they are in place and operating. San Luis Obispo, we've got some yellow dots there. I don't mean to put yellow up there in terms of warning or yield. But they indicate that we feel confident of this. We can actually, with a few more actions on the part of our leadership team, we believe that the providing the oversight, very doable. We've had some conversations with clinicians who have indicated a high level of interest in participating in this clinic. We know an organization that can provide the administrative systems and the billing. We have a budget, but the blank spots there are the ones that we have to be concerned about and will be the focus of our conversation in the next day or so while we're here. We need to be able to plan, to be able to identify who will be the operational leader, the model of care coordinator. We have to think through the space, which obviously has budget implications. We're going to have to think through the startup money. And we have to make sure that the budget and the resources are in balance with one another so that we can be assured that once we start up, that we're going to be able to sustain it over time. That's our present status. This dizzying graphic, you can't read, which is a blessing for you. But here's what I would like to point out to you. Each of those colors represents an organization in the Fresno community. The lower left-hand column there, this part here, is a sort of a key to it. And on there you would see First Five, their child welfare organization, their regional center, the community mental health MCAH, ENTA, and the school districts. Every single organization has contributed either money or personnel. The schools, for example, have located an assessment team at this center. The purpose in putting this up here is to drive home a point, and the point is this. No one organization can pull this off. MCAH can't pull this off. First Five cannot pull this off. It can only be done in a broad partnership. And that is, in fact, what we are working towards here. You saw the long list of names that we had, and that's been the strength of the project here in San Luis Obispo. Broad involvement in the planning, and now we find ourselves at this point where we are at a crossroads in terms of the challenges of planning out the next piece of the process, taking ourselves from concept to startup reality. And that's where we stand at the present time. Are there any questions? Yeah. It's like in an auction. You get a gavel raised, say, fair warning. Yes.
What is the group?
I'm sorry, could you turn that microphone on first?
What is the group? I'm new to the community. What's the group that is working to implement this? Who are that? I mean, I saw your list of names,
right.
But what's the name of that network?
Oh, lacking imagination, it's called the leadership team. And there's going to be some changes in that. We're going to propose some. It all gets a little bit incestuous because the oversight group will probably draw on some of the same players because of their role. We would need somebody from First Five. We need somebody from the schools. We'll need somebody from all the groups who have a concrete contribution to this, whether it's financial or personnel, so that they can work together to make sure it continues. So we've got this large group to get us started, a small group to implement it, and then a group who will be staying in place for the duration to make sure it's run properly.
I just wanted to add a little bit of information reference to your question, and in terms of the role of First Five Commission up to this point, that there a significant amount of the funding that has gone to the sending teams, the people back, and creating the groundwork that has been laid up to this point has come through the First Five Commission. Last night at our commission meeting, we had a portion of this presentation, and even though it wasn't an action item on our agenda, there was an affirmation of the commitment of First Five to continue to support this process, where the nature of that support will yet to be determined, but we want to, in reference to being doers, we want to put this into place and see it through to the to its establishment and full operation. So First Five is certainly a major part of what has happened up to this point, and we will continue to be involved.
My hunch is that as you listen to this, you would possibly imagine what could be your involvement in this. If you are working with children directly, there'll be an opportunity in due course where you would be screening children and identifying children and say, I've got some concerns, I'd like this child to be seen at the assessment center. If you are a treatment provider, this assessment center will be putting comprehensive reports in the hands of parents and then giving family advocates the responsibility to see to it that those families and their children find their way to your offices to be able to get the treatment they need. So in one way, you would be on the receiving end of this system as a treatment provider. Those are two immediate notions about how this could work out.
I think
the sounds of the season have overtaken us. And to your complete and utter relief, I will not break into song. Are there any other questions? Okay, Kim.
Thanks, Lisa. I guess all we can say is thank you so much for your leadership and your dedication to this subject. It is near and dear to all of our hearts and the children in San Luis Obispo County. So on behalf of the leadership team and the Children's Services Network, we thank you. And the meeting is adjourned.